Well, guys, like our paper says, this is the one that got away, right?
You live life on the edge. Sometimes you crash, Paul. Is that
no,
it?
You fall off. Oh, you fall
crash,
off.
Crash, fall off. Well, it bites you in the end. Right.
The question is, should we or should fans be on the ledge because of this game?
Oh, the edge, the ledge.
Right.
No, I don't think you should. And there's a few reasons. We talked a lot of this stuff this week. I think they played a pretty good football game. I think, obviously, they bogged down in the red zone. That's something that's going to have to get better. And that's the first time right away that you see life without Gronkowski. And obviously, it's going to be an adjustment. But some long drive, 16-play drive, 15-play drive. So they know that they can move the ball without him. Now they have to see if they can get over the hump and see if they can get touchdowns without him. But I think there were a lot of things that were good in that game. And I don't think this is any time to panic and give up the ship.
Plus, you lost in Miami. You're 7-7 in Miami under Belichick.
Right. We all knew it was going to be tough.
Happens.
You know, this is not a surprise that they lost this game. But, you know, you mentioned moving the ball. I mean, you're right. They were moving the ball up and down. The question is, when they got in the red zone, this is the first game in a while that they haven't had Gronk, and it showed. You know, is this a fatal flaw, or is this something it can overcome?
Well, it's not just Gronk. He also didn't have Dobson. He didn't have Tompkins. Two young receivers, but I also think receivers who are maybe more capable because of their size. Dobson's fighting for the ball ability. I mean, you were out there with Amendola, Edelman. Great games, big games, but I'm not really sure you see them as red zone targets or red zone playmakers. And then the other side of it, for some reason you decided not to run the ball really in the red zone. I think those two things, lack of weapons in the passing game and then getting too much away from what had been a pretty productive running game, killed you in the red zone in this game. I'm not saying that's going to happen every week.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've had a number of radio shows since the game has been over, and I think it's the one thing we all agree on, and we rarely agree on anything.
It's true.
You know, so...
I don't agree.
Yeah.
Well, the running the ball part of it, I just thought when they got close. I mean, what they did to get to the red zone, I was fine with that. I don't think they didn't run it enough in general. I just think when they got down there, I thought they might have been able to stick with a little bit more. I thought Blunt ran pretty well in that first drive. They got down to the 10-yard line, first and goal from the 10, and they threw the ball three times. I'd like to see them maybe try to – and I know that's, you know, you're on the 10-yard line. It's a tough area to run the ball into the end zone. But at least give me one crack and see if I can get it closer, and now I can maybe adjust. If I get 6 or 7 yards on first down, maybe I can run two more times to get the touchdown.
Also a tough area to throw it into the end zone when you have a bunch of 5'9 receivers.
And Bill
around.
Said that. Bill talked about how when you get down there, when you sort of it's a little bit tougher from the 10 or the 15 than sometimes it is when you're a little bit closer, you know, around the 5 or inside the 5 or a little bit further away. So they're in that middle ground there where it can be really condensed in the red zone. And then to Andy's point about the size of the receivers, you don't have that guy you can just throw it up to.
Yeah, I mean, who knew that, you know, week 15 we're saying, geez, we need those rookies back, Dobson
well,
and Tompkins.
I mean, we talked a little bit about it last week when Belichick and Brady and McDaniels were saying, we've been through this before. Well, you haven't, because those rookies were the core of the passing game early, and you knew they were banged up and might not be out there. So it's another identity, another process here of now it's Colley and some of the extra receivers you're trying to work in. Shane Vereen is a bigger part of the offense. So it's sort of their third phase of identity crisis this season.
Well, I think in terms of identity crisis, the makeup of the offensive line, should we be concerned? I mean, Nate Solder gets supposedly kneed in the head and has to leave the game. Now it's his second concussion or, you know, an aggravation of the first one. However you want to call it, it's not good when a guy gets two head injuries in a row.
Yeah, and you're moving guys around. Now you had Mankins move from guard to tackle. Cannon is coming off an ankle injury. They didn't know if he would be able to go the whole game. Svitek played a little bit for him early on. So, yeah, it's not an ideal situation. Maybe that had something to do with their inability to attempt to run the ball when they got down close. Maybe a little bit of a faith issue there with the guys they had up front. But it's going to be interesting to see how this all unfolds because they're going to have to find a way to get touchdowns because on the other side of the ball, you're having a harder and harder time of keeping teams out of the end zone.
All right, so we move over to defense. 24 points. It looked okay up until that last drive of the first half. It looked like the Patriots were going to handle this team. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if it was an adjustment that Miami made or the heat of Florida, but things started to break down a little bit in the second half for the Patriots defense.
Yeah, the last six drives of the game for Miami, they botched the field goal. They scored a touchdown. Then they had two more touchdowns in the field goal, and they had the one drive in the fourth quarter that the Patriots forced a punt. So they scored points, really, on five of the last six drives. They just botched the field goal there. They're holding on. You know, you see they have an ability to sort of scheme it up and figure out, and this little wrinkle to me involved Tlaib a little bit, taking away something they wanted to do with Charles Clay. But ultimately, once Miami figured out what the Patriots were doing, the Patriots had no answers from that point on. And I don't think that's, you know, something that's just a one-week thing.
Right.
I think that's what we can expect going forward. I think once a team figures out exactly how it's going to be defending the Patriots, they're going to, how the Patriots are going to be defending the offense, I should say, they're going to have answers, because right now there's just too many guys beat up.
Well, Belichick mentioned it early in the week. One of the things that the defense isn't doing well that they've been known for over the past couple of years is getting the ball turned over. They're just not doing it.
Yeah, no, it's dried up, and I think part of that is the two ways you generally – being around the football is how you get turnovers. Getting pressure on the quarterback, making some tough decisions. I don't think they've had enough pressure. Even though they had four sacks this week, I thought they were really working to get it. You had a Jones stunt with Seliga come in. You had a couple corner blitzes. You're really trying to create something there rather than just getting Ninkovich and Jones to create the pressure. And then I don't think they're around the football enough in coverage. And part of that may be injuries. You know, they're all banged up. You got the hip for Tlaib. You got the groins, and the Dennard had the knee surgery, all that. But they're not around the ball enough to come up with these turnovers, and they are. I think they've only had a win in the turnover battle once in the last five games. It's usually the other way.
That,
you know, almost every week they win the turnover differential. When you lose that and you're playing close game, you're losing all your margin for error, as Brady would say.
I mean, you guys mentioned Tlaib being matched up with their tight end, Clay. I thought that was a little odd. But it might be an admission that, you know, he's not healthy enough to play on the outside with a guy like Wallace.
Yeah, and we've seen it in recent weeks. He hasn't matched up, true matchup, in a while now. They didn't do it with Andre Johnson. They sort of half went into it at times with Josh Gordon, but, you know, he pulled away from him. And I do think it's an admission that Tlaib is not anywhere near 100%, anywhere near the guy we saw in September, maybe 70%, whatever it is. Even with that, though, I find it strange that he's a better option in the slot on a tight end, and a big tight end, not a Jimmy Graham tight end, and putting Dennard and Arrington and those guys on the outside. I thought that was a curious decision.
It's not exactly an ideal situation, but right now I think it might be time to just close your eyes and block your nose and turn the running game back over to Stephen Ridley. I think especially down close in the red zone. I think Josh McDaniels needs to commit a little bit more to running the football, and Ridley is one of the few remaining healthy playmaking guys on offense. I think it's time to just say, hey, it's first and goal at the 10-yard line. We're not going to throw the ball three times. We need to give someone a touch, whether it's Blunt or Ridley, and I think it's Ridley because he has the nose for the goal line, 7 touchdowns and limited duty this year. Josh, it's time. You got to do it. Let Stephen Ridley run the football. Now, I can already hear it. McDaniels is saying right now, Perilla wants me to run the football behind this offensive line with all of these injuries. I don't even know who's going to be out there, and really, I don't have much of a response to that. This is really dire straits. You got Marcus Cannon coming back. He missed some time with an ankle injury. You don't know how long he's going to be able to go. Nate Solder suffers his second concussion in 2 weeks. Logan Mankins moves from guard out to tackle. Josh Klein, a guy who really hadn't played all season, is out there with the game on the line at left guard. Easy for me to say they need to run the football, but right now it's going to be tough for Dante Scarnecchia to get these guys up to speed because, really, everybody is banged up. The situation really is pretty much the same all throughout the AFC, and we've been talking about it all year. There's a lot of parity, but there really isn't a lot of talent. There's not a lot of great football teams, and that was really illustrated on Sunday. It starts off actually on Thursday when the Denver Broncos have a chance to really lock up the number one overall seed, and they can't get it done at home against San Diego. The Patriots then have a great opportunity to take the number one seed. They can't do it. They lose in Miami. And Cincinnati gets all of that. They go out the field. Sunday night, they have a chance to take the number two seed, and they lay an egg against Pittsburgh. Really, nobody wants it. And right now, the only teams that are playing well are the ones just fighting to get in, Miami and Baltimore. So, really, you can throw this AFC, throw these teams in a hat. Whichever one you pick out, that might be the one that you get. But right now, I'm not really afraid of anybody.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Some have sort of compared you to Marshall Faulk. All right, it was me. I made the comparison.
Morning Meeting is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly.
Here's the images of the week, and I hate to replay bad memories, but I just want to show how close things were at the end. Here's that last one to Danny Amendola, He had his hands on it. This one was just over Julian Edelman's reach. Finally, here's Hooman. Notice the left hand of the Dolphins defender.
Player Perspective is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Get Patriots running back Shane Vereen with us this week. You know, a running back out of Cal, skill position guy, probably didn't play a lot of snow games in the Pac-12. What's it been like even practicing? I know you haven't had any games really yet this year, but what's the experience been like?
Cold, you know, but aside from that, you know, it's not too bad. You get used to it kind of quick. Really, it's just, you know, it's just a temperature thing. And other than that, it's part of the game.
And I don't know if you know this, but some have sort of compared you to Marshall Faulk. And that your ability, all right, it was me, I made the comparison, but, you know, just the ability to do both. When did you realize that, you know, it wasn't just about running the football between the tackles in the traditional running back sense, but you have, you know, maybe a little bit of a special skill in terms of your receiver?
Really, when I got here, I learned how important it was to have the running back in the passing game, because I never was a part of an offense where it was that as important as it is now, I guess I should say. So since I got here, I've just been working on it, been trying to get better and just do the things that I can do to get better.
And you guys obviously missing some pieces. You know, you didn't have Rob out there last week, and, you know, Dobson and Tompkins also missed the game. Do you sort of look as the running backs as a group? Do you guys look together and say, hey, you know, we're here, we're all healthy, put a little bit more of the burden on us? You're looking forward to that kind of a challenge?
I think in the running back group, we're so competitive that, you know, we always want to be able to have a big impact in the game regardless. And that's good. And I think that's what makes us a special group. And I think that that's what's going to help us work harder and get better this week.
I know that, you know, when Coach Belichick talks about the Patriots, it's always one game at a time and whatever the game happens to be. This particular one is against Baltimore. And I wonder if the guys in this locker room look at the Ravens right now as maybe a little bit with a little bit of extra, you know, juice going into the game in terms of a rival.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Baltimore's, they're playing well in four of the last five. We know it's going to be a tough game, a physical game, and that's the team that they have. And you know, you got to tip your hat off to them. They're a good team, and they're playing well. And it's going to take a really good effort from us to play well on Sunday.
As we talked about earlier in the show, red zone offense, a major issue in Miami, could argue led to the loss. Won't get any easier this week against a Baltimore Ravens defense, number 4 in the NFL in red zone defense. They're also 7th in points allowed. There's a reason those two things are connected. These two teams play tight field goal type football games. Scoring a touchdown instead of a field goal could be the difference, just like it was last week. The other issue for the Patriots offense right now, pass protection. Tom Brady sacked just once last week, but hit 7 times and really harried all day long. Injuries up front are an issue. Nate Solder has a head injury yet again. Who's going to play left tackle? Who's going to play right tackle? Where will Logan Mankins be? And they're facing a very good Ravens front. 9th in the NFL in sacks per pass play. Elvis Dumervil, 9 sacks. Terrell Suggs, 9 sacks. They have a ton of guys that can get after the quarterback. New England's pass protection must be better, or once again, we'll be talking about a strong defensive front that may cause a loss. Jumping to the defensive side of the football, it's all about takeaways. It's about interceptions. Last 2 weeks, 0 interceptions. They are facing a guy, though, in Joe Flacco, 17 interceptions on the season. He definitely gives you the chance to make some plays on the football. New England's defensive backs need to start doing that. Turnover differential is usually the difference for this team on defense. They need to pick off Flacco, the Super Bowl MVP who's overpaid, take advantage of his loose balls.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
I'm not just looking, oh, I want one third down stop, so I'm going to blitz. No, I'm looking for big plays if I'm going to take that risk.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL, brought to you by Nissan.
Well, everybody's worried about New York City handling the Super Bowl. And I have to admit, when it was first announced, so was I. But now I've had time to think about it. And, you know, barring a snowstorm, which all bets are off if that happens, I think New York City can handle a Super Bowl. Listen, Manhattan handles 4 million people every day. 400,000 of those people are visitors. So instead of visiting to, say, see Times Square or something like that, you're visiting for the Super Bowl. New York City has been through a lot more than a Super Bowl. They'll be able to handle it.
To me, there's nothing quite like watching the Dallas Cowboys lose an important football game. And when they do it the way they did against Green Bay, it's even better. But the best thing to me wasn't Jerry Jones. It wasn't this defense. It wasn't even Tony Romo's picks. It was watching Jason Garrett squirm around at the end of the game and put it all on Romo's shoulders because he checked out of a run and went to a pass. We know you wouldn't want to throw the ball there, Jason, because we saw what kind of coach you are right here in Foxborough a few years ago. You had a 3-point lead late in the game and you just conservatively ran the ball up the middle all three plays, and Tom Brady ended up beating you because you didn't even try to move the football. We know Tony Romo throws the football because he's not afraid. I'm not sure Jason Garrett can say the same thing.
Okay, we got 2 weeks left in the NFL season, and luckily, I think everybody's still eligible for the postseason. You have 7 losses, you have 8 losses through 14 games, you still have a chance to get into the postseason. The NFL loves this, right? It's called parity. It's competitive balance. It keeps all the fan bases interested. TV ratings are at an all-time high. My boss, Fred Kirsch, thinks it's the perfect scenario. But guess what? A lot of people used to watch the Jerry Springer show, too. It was popular. People cheered it. They loved it. Doesn't mean it was anything to be proud of. Doesn't mean it was good TV. So I'll look out for Bill Belichick throwing a chair on the field this week. NFL would really love that. Good ratings.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on.
Given the injuries on the Patriots defense, is it time to get more aggressive?
I don't think it's an issue of being more aggressive. I think it's an issue of the guys that are out there being better. And I would start up front. I think your defensive ends, Chandler Jones, Rob Ninkovich, are healthy, should be the leaders of that front, and at times have been playmakers for this team, but not often enough lately. And that's where I'd start. I think those guys need to step their games up because the pass rush, if they can get a consistent pass rush, everything else behind them will fall into place.
I do agree. Those guys have to be better. I think those two that you mentioned specifically have to be better, but I think that you can help them out a little bit by making them a little bit less of the focal point of what the other team's trying to block. I think that you're just coming at them generally with the same, you know, same four guys are rushing. There's no real surprise. Now, they do some stunting up front, but I'm talking about sending extra rushers more often. I want to get a little bit more aggressive because I'm not sure what you have in the back end is healthy enough to really deal with some of these passing games. To me, relying on somebody to make a mistake as opposed to trying to force a mistake is a tough way to go, especially when you're banged up like this.
There are some bad offenses that will make mistakes, that will make mistakes that will shoot themselves in the foot. You can't give them the free plays. You can't allow them to chunk play you and just go 80 yards. I just don't see that as a benefit to this team right now. I still think you have veteran guys on both sides of the ball that if you put look at their record in close games.
After it.
Look at their record in close games. Stay competitive. 6-1 in games decided by 3 points or less. So just keep me in the game. I'm not asking you to make all these huge plays on defense, which you're looking for. Keep me in the game. Stay competitive, and I still think Brady will figure out a way to make the plays at the end.
I'm looking for a whole host of big plays to win games for me. I'm looking for a play to stop the other team at some point. That's all.
See,
I'm
if you're
for.
Not looking for big
Break
plays
serve.
And turnovers,
well,
then
yes,
I really have no desire to be more aggressive. If
but
I'm looking for big plays, I'm looking for turnovers.
Because
otherwise, I will take my chances of guys. I'm not just looking, oh, I want one third down stop, so I'm going to blitz. No, I'm looking for big plays if I'm going to take that risk. And I still don't think it's worth that risk.
What I'm talking about is not necessarily having to come up with 3 or 4 turnovers. I'm saying if you could force one big play in a game. They haven't been forcing turnovers. They're sitting back and they're hoping the other team makes a mistake. Well, lately, the other team's not making those mistakes.
And lately, when you blitz, you give up big plays.
And I don't think they will make mistakes because I think the Patriots
right now are
too banged up to force a mistake.
When you get aggressive, you're giving up big plays. We saw it against the Cleveland Browns. We saw it a little bit against Mike Wallace with that, you know, you had McCourty coming up to the line of scrimmage. The more aggressive you are, I think the more big plays over the top you're going to give up. If you're just packing it in, if nobody's healthy back there and this is last ditch, you know, emergency effort,
I don't think
we're at that point. I think they're still competitive and it falls on the guys that are still in there. You have Dante Hightower, first round pick. You have Chandler Jones, first round pick. You have Rob Ninkovich living off a nice new contract. These are the core players of your front. They're healthy. Make some plays. Don't count on other guys coming off the edge to do it for you.
Well, to me, you can't stop anybody in third down. You can't stop anybody in the red zone. All you're doing is dying of 1,000 paper cuts.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Nissan. Choose Nissan today for great offers on our most innovative lineup ever. Shop at ChooseNissan.com. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you in part by Yokohama, engineering the most advanced tires on the road for nearly a century. Yokohama, Technology drives better tires.
Okay, it's that time of the show where we answer your questions here in PFW. But first, as always, the Wilson Heart Power Index.
While you're rubbing your hands together.
I'm anxious.
I know you care about the Broncos. They stayed the same. They're at number nine. Is that okay? Can we move on to the rest of it?
The one week I would have said they should have moved down, they stayed the same.
Number one, Seahawks.
Home loss to San Diego.
Still, but the gap is closing. The Chiefs closed the gap a little bit at number two this week. Those two are now greatly separated from three, which is the Niners, four, which is the Panthers, and the Patriots dropped a spot with their loss to number five. You know, interesting that the Colts, 14th ranked in the ratings, but, you know, they're in the postseason.
And by the way, where are the Dolphins?
The Miami Dolphins are up one to number 12.
Okay, not
you okay with that?
Yeah.
I don't really have a problem with the top five, unfortunately.
And by the way, the worst team still eligible for the postseason? Your Detroit Lions, 21st. I don't know why they're yours.
After this show on Monday night, they shouldn't be. Okay, this first question comes from Melbo Ford. And what do you think about this trade scenario? Adrian Peterson and a fourth and fifth round pick. And the Patriots give the Vikings Gronk and Ridley.
I don't love it really from either side. I think the Patriots are a pass-based team, so when healthy, you want Gronk back. And from the Vikings side, your lone star, your building block, and they have said that, is Adrian Peterson, and you're trading him for a star, but a star who has played limited games the last couple of years and is injured right now. I don't know how you could sell that to your Vikings fan. I don't think that trade makes sense for either team.
I think it's sad that we're talking about trading Rob Gronkowski.
Well, it's a little ridiculous, but I'd rather trade him than cut him, which a lot of people want to do also. Yeah, ridiculous.
It's just unbelievable.
How about we just get Gronk back to score a touchdown?
I certainly wouldn't make that deal if I were either team. I wouldn't make it if I were Minnesota either.
The next one is from Dick Whippy. He wants to know, you know, Steve Gregory had a couple tough plays in the game on Sunday. He wants to know if Ed Reed would have been able to make those plays, the tackles.
Those specific plays, maybe. I don't know. You know, if he's 3 yards from a guy running at him, he may tackle him.
Not in 2013, he
couldn't. But Ed Reed has given up his share of plays for the last couple years that Steve Gregory hasn't. So one or two maybe specific plays, but no. Ed Reed would not be an upgrade over what Steve Gregory has been for this football team this year.
All right, well, that'll be it for a very sad PFW.
Dick Whippy!